you been saved?
Yes.
And what did you do to get saved?
To forgive all my sins.
Amen. He asked Jesus to forgive all his sins. And that's how we all get saved, isn't it? All right. And because you have asked Jesus to forgive all of your sins, because you have trusted the Lord as your Savior and desire to follow him in baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
As we look at the topic of more than, and we'll pray in just a minute, this is a comparative phrase. And so there are several things in the scripture, and I have found 9 verses in which the phrase more than is used. And as we look at this phrase, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a joy it is to see someone saved and baptized, even as we saw this morning from Acts chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch had trusted Christ as his Savior, and then Philip had the opportunity to baptize him as well. And Lord, then the joy, the rejoicing that came after that. There's joy in heaven when someone comes to know Christ. And so we thank you for the joy that you give us whenever we know you as our Savior. As we look at this topic of more than and make some comparative thoughts, speak to our hearts concerning things that we may need to do more than we are currently doing for your service and for your honor. In Christ's name, amen. The first verse we'll look at, there's the comparative phrase I mentioned earlier, and now we'll move on to the first verse, has to do with love. And some of these I'll share 2 or 3 verses with you. And notice the little phrase in there. I've underlined it for you to help it stand out a little more. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" He said to them, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And the little pronoun these in here, do you love me more than these? And so here in this verse, love is a reference to his career. For Peter was a fisherman there, and he was going to leave it all. And too many times we hear of people pursuing a career or a job, and they put that before the Lord. And he should be first. He should be primary. I noticed talking to Lawrence's mom before the service this evening, I noticed on her lapel pin, she had one that says, "Jesus first," there. And that's the way it should be. He should be first in our lives. Well, there's another verse using the word love in 2 Timothy 3:4. It says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Where the first verse we looked at, it had to do with loving God more than our career, more than our jobs. But now when we look at this verse, it has to do with loving God more than pleasures there, which would include our hobbies, our recreations, anything that we do for self. And hobbies are not wrong. Recreation is not wrong. Activities for self, they're not wrong. Because when we look at the phrase more than, that's the comparative part. And so it's not like we should never have any kind of hobbies or never any secular activities, never go to a ball game or watch anything on TV. You know, those, but it's, do you love me more than you love all of those things there? Remember Joshua? When Joshua made this statement, "To choose you this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, we could kind of add a little word in there to make an application. We certainly don't want to add to the scriptures. But what about this? Choose you this Lord's day whom you will serve. There's a temptation to maybe have some recreation or go to the beach or go to the lake or do a whole lot of other things. But are we going to put God first there? And we can worship the Lord. We don't have to be in a church service to worship the Lord. But we remember that Sunday is the Lord's day. And it was on that day that he rose again. And because he rose from the dead, it is his day. That day belongs to the Lord there. And whenever we love him more than ourselves and more than our job, more than our career, more than things there, whenever we can, we're going to be in the Lord's house. And we understand that sometimes people's job take them away on the Lord's day and things like that. Aren't you glad that God sees the heart? So he knows the heart as well. And so there are times even when we can't do what we want to, God knows the desires of our heart. One more on the word love. Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And this speaks to us concerning family. Now, I hope you love your family. I love my family. I love the family in which I was born. I love the family that God has given to me with my wife and children. But if we ever put our family before God, then we've done wrong. So many times I read, usually I guess mostly seeing things posted on Facebook, where people will make comments like, there's nothing better than family, and things like that. You know, family is the greatest thing. Well, family is wonderful, and from all things on earth, maybe it's better than all. But if we ever put family before we put God, we haven't put him first. And here it says, if any loves their father or mother or son or daughter, if we put family before we put God, then they have become an idol. Because anything that we choose over God is an idol. And so do we love God more than our career? Do we love God more than our fun activities? Do we love God even more than family, more than? Well, the next word that we see is the idea of worship. In Hosea 6:6, he says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice. He says, and I desired the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now, God liked burnt offerings. God commanded them to bring the burnt offerings. And the reason for the offerings were to atone for the sins. But whenever we have a knowledge of God and we have that relationship with God, God says that he desires that we have a relationship with him, that we put that above all the activity we do for God. And so we need to be busy about doing the Lord's work. But here he says something that God loves more than the sacrifices. He desires that we have a better knowledge of him. And how do we gain a better knowledge of God? The same way we gain a better knowledge of other people. The same way we get a better knowledge of any particular task or job we have to do. It's reading more about it, participating in it. And the more we read in God's word about him and fellowship with him, then that is more important to God than the activity. Somebody once said that we can be so busy doing the work of the Lord, that we forget the Lord of the work. And we need to be busy and occupy until he comes, as I mentioned earlier. But we need to make sure that that relationship with the Lord is more than the activities for the Lord. Another verse having to do with worship. It says, they change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. And so when it says they were worshiping one more than the other, that means they were worshiping both of them. They had divided loyalty. They were worshiping God, but they were also worshiping idols as well. And when God commands us to live for him, he doesn't want our love to be divided between him and self or anything else. He doesn't want our worship to be divided. He wants 100%. He doesn't want part-time Christians. He wants us full-time serving the Lord. Loyalty to the Lord and our worship. Not giving him more than the other, but giving him all, for he gave his all for us. The third idea having to do with more than is in the area of obedience. In Philemon 1, 21, it says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Doing more than he says. Now that is really obedience. And those of you who are supervisors or own your own business and you have people work for you, you recognize those that do their duty. And they do everything that they are told to do. But then you take special note of those who do even more than you tell them to do. They're not just being obedient to the direct commands, but they're also keeping the spirit of the law. It's an idea of duty versus service. Duty means you do everything that you're told to do. Service means I want to serve you. I want to go beyond. I want to do more than, and that's what businesses ought to be trying to do. If they want to compete with other businesses and they want your business, they want your dollars, then they need to go beyond what others are doing and provide a greater service there. And that's what we need to do as well. Not just what God tells us to do, but in the spirit going the right way. Can you think of a passage of scripture, it may be coming to your mind, of where we're supposed to do than what more than what is required? Remember when Jesus said, and teaching, if someone compels you to go a mile with them, that you're to go 2 miles. Go the extra mile is a phrase that we have coined from that story in the Bible. He says, or if they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak also. Go beyond what other people are going to do there. And so whenever we consider the idea of more than, we look at what God says, word for word, but we also look at the spirit of it as well. You know, if I ask someone or tell my son or grandson or someone, I say, I want you to cut the grass. Well, I shouldn't have to go into details and say, when you finish cutting the grass, I want you to trim around the bushes, and I want you to then sweep or blow off all the clippings off of the driveway. You know, you shouldn't have to go into details about all of those. Now, you might on younger people because they don't know, but you teach them there. But after we're older and we know these things, there's some things that are not stated specifically that are understood. And that is the difference in duty and service, doing more than what would be required of us. The next one has to do with the area of accomplishments. It's a wonderful thing to have accomplishments in our lives, that God uses us, and sometimes we have personal goals. In Judges chapter 16, verse 30, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead, which he slew at his death, were, here's the phrase, more than they which he slew in his life. You know, and it may be we won't die like Samson did, of course, with the strength and pulling down the columns, but more people died in his death than in his life there. And so as we think about our accomplishments, it's not in the area, obviously, of making sure people die, but the opposite, making people live. Maybe even when our time comes to die and the funeral is given for us, that people would come to know Christ as a result of that, as the Word of God is given and people hear that we can accomplish more, not so much more than what other people do. We're not in a competition with other Christians to see who can do the most for the Lord. But as I look at my personal goals of what I was able to do by God's grace for the Lord last year or last month, am I going to do more than that now? And that's what we do with our accomplishments, because we understand that anything that we accomplish in this life is only by His grace. It's not because we're so smart or we're so strong, but it's the Lord who does it. Even as the Lord worked in Samson's life, it is the Lord who accomplishes those things through us. And may the Lord help us to do more as a church this year than we did last year. May the Lord help us as individual believers to do more than we did last week or last year there, that we continue to do more than what we are doing. Number five, the concept of fear. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And so here he says, whenever you are overwhelmed or outnumbered, as they were, you've heard the phrase maybe before, God's odds. Well, here it says here, the Lord thy God is with thee. It doesn't matter how many are against us, because if God is for us, then who can be against us here? And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha was feeling that way. He answered, "Fear not," to his servant, "for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And his servant was thinking, Elisha has lost his mind. It's just the two of us. And Elisha prayed and said to the Lord, open his eyes and help him to see there. And God opened his eyes and he saw the host of army that was surrounding them. And at one time he was in fear. He was feeling outnumbered and overpowered. And God spoke to him and opened his eyes and he began to see. And if we're not careful, we can I don't have it up there, but Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And so if we're not careful, we will allow fear to come in and it will overcome us and it will be more than the peace God wants to give us. And so whenever times of fear comes and you're feeling overwhelmed and you have so many projects and so many things to do and you have so many bills and you have so many health problems and all of these things just seem to overwhelm you, remember that God has an army of angels encamped around about us. And we need to open our eyes and see that God is greater than any problem that we might have. And Elisha was able to minister to his servant by praying when the Syrians had outnumbered them. Well, the next one, number six, is this concept of sin more than. Judges chapter 2, verse 19. It came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And so they were corrupt. Not only were they corrupt, it says they were more corrupt than their fathers. So their fathers were wicked, and now they're even more wicked than their fathers. And the Bible talks to us about judgment according to works. Now we know that we're not saved by works, but the Bible says that we're going to be judged according to our works. At the great white throne judgment, where only unsaved people stand before God, they're lost and they're judged according to their works. At the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, all believers will stand before the Lord and we will be judged according to our works, whether they are gold, silver, or precious stones, or whether they are wood, hay, or stubble. And so we know that people are judged by their works. It's almost as though God was saying, I've given you grace. You don't have to work your way for salvation, but you keep trying to work, and if you want to do it by works, then okay, I'll judge you by works if that's what you want. But that's not what we want, is it? Because there's no amount of work that we can do to earn our salvation. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus says, it will be more tolerable There's another comparative phrase. It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. And then over in Mark chapter 6, he says it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he's making a comparison statement. And I don't understand it all, how if a person is in hell and burning and lost, how can one person there be worse off than another person? I don't know. But I believe that's what the scripture teaches there, because we see those phrases, more tolerable there. It's a comparative statement, just as more than. We see this concept of sin in another verse, a positive side. He says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Do you feel that way about your sins? That they are innumerable? That you have committed so many sins that they're more than you can count? And that's what he's saying here. But here we see, though judgment is by works, salvation is by grace. Because the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It was greater than. God's grace is greater than judgment. And whenever we trust Christ, his grace is more than all of our sins. So he takes all of our sins, and we don't have to stand accountable to be judged for our sins, because Jesus already took it for us. And our sins indeed were innumerable evils. They indeed had compassed us about. Our iniquities, in verse 12 says, they have taken hold upon me. And that's what sin does. It takes a hold of people and it brings them to death. But the grace of God, where that sin had a grip, God's grace reaches down and removes us from that grip of sin. Because, see, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross, was it? It was his love for us that held him to the cross. Well, let's go on to number 7 of the 9 concepts and the idea of more than. It's the concept of pride, or what do I think about myself? In Esther chapter 6, Haman came in and the king said to him, what shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman thought in his heart, whom do the king delight to honor more than me? You know, I'm worthy of this. And of course, that's not who the king had in mind. It was Mordecai there. And so here we see a comparison of others to self. And boy, his head was big. As we say, it couldn't get through the door. You know, he thought he was the great. If the king going to honor anybody, it's got to be me, because nobody compared to me. I've done more, you know, and I'm better than anybody else. What a big head there. And we know that pride goeth before a fall. And that certainly happened with Haman as well. Also, speaking of John the Baptist, in Matthew 11, Jesus said, what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. And so when Jesus was talking about John, Jesus' testimony of John was, he's more than a prophet. You know, he's the forerunner of the Messiah. And this was Jesus' testimony about John. That wasn't John's testimony. John wasn't saying, hey, I'm more than a prophet. I'm the great. He wasn't like Haman. What did John say about himself? John said, he must increase and I must decrease. And that was the true humility there. The Pharisees, they also were full of pride. Here it says, they, the Pharisees, love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, they love the praise of God, but they love the praise of men more. And they just love praise. Anybody pat them on the back and tell them you're doing great? The Pharisees, they were what the Bible calls in another passage, men pleasers. They're doing things when people are watching them so that they can be commended for what they're doing, but if they're not being observed, they really didn't care if they did right or not. That was the Pharisees there. And so here we have a comparison of man's approval to God's approval. And we ought to want to please God more than man. Number 8, the Bible says some things about money using the phrase more than. In Exodus 36:5, they spoke to Moses and said, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Remember, they were taking a collection, and they were building the tabernacle, and they were everyone was supposed to bring items, and they kept bringing and bringing, and Moses says, stop, we got too much stuff. You got to stop giving to the Lord. That's the only time I ever know in history that a preacher has told people to stop giving there, when Moses said that. They were doing much more there. Over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, Amaziah said to, he was the king of Judah, he said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The man of God was telling him he had given 100 talents of silver. And he says, well, we don't want to just forget about that. What are we going to do about all that? We're just going to lose all that? And the man of God says, don't you worry about 100,000 talents. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns it all. God can do much more than this. Don't you worry about that. You trust God and do what's right, and God will give you more than that. In Proverbs 11, there's another verse having to do with money. Proverbs says, there is he that scattereth, he gives and gives, but yet he just increases. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, that is, those who keep more than they really need, and then they still have poverty there. And so whenever we give to the Lord, as our board voted to do for Brother Nava today, God honors that. It's like planting seeds. You know, you plant that seed, and whatever you plant's going to grow, and God honors that whenever we're faithful with the money that God has entrusted to us. One of my favorite quotes is from missionary to the Alka Indians, Jim Elliott. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And we can't keep the money. When we die, it's staying behind. It's not going in with us there. And whenever we give it to God, we are laying up treasures in heaven there, more than if we try to hold on to it and do it ourselves. One more in dealing with money. Jesus said of this widow that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And Jesus is making a comparative statement here. Remember how much she cast in? She cast in two mites there. Well, there's a comparison to what others were giving, but that's just on the surface. You see that in the verse. It says she cast in more than they did. But the comparison he's making is not really comparing what she gave to what they did, because if you look at dollars and cents, she didn't give more than they did. But the comparison that he is making is what she gave compared to what she kept. Because what did she keep? Nothing. She gave it all. And so in the eyes of God, the two mites that she gave, though from a human perspective, was very little and wouldn't go far. Like fish and bread wouldn't go far and feed 5,000 people unless the Lord blesses it. And then it just goes and more and more. And here's a woman who gave all that she had. And the last one we'll see is God's blessings. In 2 Chronicles 20:25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. And so that's what spoil was. After the battle, they would get all the silver and the gold and the horses and the clothes and all of those things. And here, God had given them more than they could ever imagine. And it took them 3 days to collect it all there. God had really blessed them with material things. Job was blessed as well. God's blessings were not only on Jehoshaphat, but in Job 42, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job, here's that phrase again, more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. Now, we go from the beginning of Job to the end of Job and we see God's blessings were more than at the beginning. Of course, we don't have time to look at all the time in between. It wasn't all hunky-dory for Job all the time, was it? There were times of suffering and persecution, but in all of that, he never cursed God. He never blamed God. He was faithful all the way to the end, and God blessed him. And one more, Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up and ordered unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they, that is God's thoughts, are more than can be numbered. And you see I have underlined up there God's wonderful works and God's thoughts. God thinks a lot of you. God thinks a lot of me. God thinks a lot of us. That's what it says, his thoughts. And because he thinks so much of us, he does so many wonderful works for us. Now, does he do it because we're so good and wonderful and deserve all the things he does? Not at all. He doesn't think that much of us because of who we are. He thinks that much of us because of who he is and what he does for us. All the wonderful blessings that he has done for us, they are more than can be numbered. So then what is our response? Our response should be, wow, Lord, I want to do more than I have been doing for your kingdom and for your honor. Let's pray.